Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Today, Wake County families are finding out their bus routes for the new school year. This year, the school system has enough drivers for all routes. We'll explain why some students will still be late to class.
Plus, COVID cases are creeping up again. Are you up to date with your booster? It can be confusing to know when you need a new shot, and we're asking health experts so you know how to protect your family.
Looks like a sunshiny weekend for us in August. That can sound on the miserable side, but I'll show you why it won't this weekend.
Summer vacation will soon come to an end for thousands of families across our area. Wah, wah. You know it. Today, parents in Wake County are finding out school bus assignments. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This year, Wake County Public Schools says it has enough drivers to cover all routes on the first day.
WRL's Shelley Jackson joins us live on Capitol Boulevard at the bus depot. And Shelley, it's good news that they're all covered, but some students will still be late to school.
Well, Jeff, there will be enough bus drivers when the school year starts in just a couple of weeks. And today, the school district announced those routes. Now, they were published, and you can find them online at WRAL.com. The district also sending out emails to 90,000 parents. If you haven't received your email yet, go online. It might be a little faster. Now, when the school starts in 10 days, and while there will be bus service, some kids are going to arrive late to school. Drop-offs and pickups will be staggered, with some students arriving 10, 20, 30 minutes after the bell. The district says there will be enough bus drivers, 560, and that's just enough to cover each route. But that doesn't leave much wiggle room to call for call-outs. Now, right now, more than 2,000 students will be late to school and late getting home. And Wake County Schools is currently onboarding 16 new driver candidates, but that process could take at least a month. And right now, about 90,000 students of the 160,000 students in Wake County public school systems have applied to ride the bus. Renee?
Shelley Jensen, thank you so much. In Durham, school resource officers, Jeff.
Yeah, they spent the morning in training ahead of the new school year in Durham. And this is video of their session this morning. That's Sheriff Clarence Burkett and Durham Public School leaders getting together to discuss keeping kids safe at school. The school system has 27 SROs assigned to 18 different middle and high schools.
The most important part is building those relationships amongst the students. They need to be able to see the person and not the uniform. We are not necessarily there for enforcement action. We are there to be the resource for the students.
First day of class for the traditional calendar in Durham is also Monday, August 28th.
Thousands of students moved into NC State's campus today. Chancellor Randy Woodson was there this morning as parents and students arrived and unpacked their cars. The school is welcoming their largest freshman class of nearly 6,000 students. 18% of the incoming students are first-generation college students. Chancellor Woodson says the university is prioritizing students' mental health this school year.
We've embedded clinicians all over campus, so we're taking our counselors to the students as opposed to the students having to find the counselors.
NC State has added 50 counselors to their staff. At least one counselor will be available in each of the school's 11 colleges. Classes start Monday. It was a similar scene in Chapel Hill where Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz welcomed students to campus about an hour ago. 4,718 students make up this year's UNC freshman class. An interesting fact, this morning, the incoming undergrads will represent 93 of North Carolina's 100 counties.
It's about opportunities for so many of these young individuals, especially so many of them coming from towns and communities across North Carolina. And it's about them finding those opportunities.
UNC students will have a full weekend of welcome events with a festival Sunday and a new student convocation. WRAL is your back-to-school headquarters. For information on all things back-to-school, go to WRAL.com and search back-to-school.
Homestead Road in Chapel Hill remains closed this hour after a giant tree fell across power lines. Sky 5 flew over that scene during our 9 o'clock news hour. The road is closed in both directions between Weaver Dairy Road Extension and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. A big tree fell down, taking several power lines with it. No word on how long it'll take to remove the debris and repair those lines. In Durham, cleanup from Tuesday's destructive storm continues. Some roads are still closed and tree removal companies are keeping busy. The good news, storm-related power outages are restored now. Duke Energy finished up that work last night, and Jeff Brooks with Duke Energy says that was no easy task.
These are trees that are very wide diameters that create challenges to get them off the line. They bring down poles, break poles, bring down the power lines.
The city's solid waste crews are busy getting to neighborhoods hit by the storms, picking up debris. Durham's website says to have tree limbs and brush by the curb by the end of the day Sunday to ensure pickup.
After such a busy week with thunderstorms, today will be a nice break. We'll get a nice drop in the humidity. Drier air working in this afternoon, making it feel a bit more comfortable. Maybe you want to head out to the beach as we take a live look at Carolina Beach. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at how long our humidity will stay on the lower side or maybe head to the lake.
Yeah, look at this. I had a boat going by right here. This camera from the Point Restaurant here at Lake Gaston, looking absolutely gorgeous out there on the lake. You know, a lot of times in July and August in particular, though, you have a bright sunny day and it can be just miserably and sometimes dangerously hot. That's going to change for us over the weekend. It's going to be one of those weekends that, you know, I would say, especially tomorrow, today and tomorrow, get out and enjoy it. Now, we do have a little bit of a heat index for you right now. It feels like 90 in Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 90 in Fayetteville, 91 in Clinton, 88 in Rocky Mount, and 86 in Southern Pines. So in some cases, that's maybe a couple of degrees warmer than the actual temperature. But we have drier air that's working its way in. So I don't think that our feels like temperatures will become much higher than our actual temperature as we get into the afternoon. So our high for Raleigh today, 90, 90 in Durham and 93 in Fayetteville. And it may feel like 91, 92 at the most. And that's certainly far from the danger zone. Now, still means you may want to be at the lake or the pool, but at least these numbers are coming down. Our dew point right now is at 65. Earlier in the week, it was at 75. That was the day that it felt like 115. And so we're seeing a much different situation now. So we're going to see this dropping potentially into tolerable this afternoon, and then probably down to around 59, which puts us in the comfy zone for tomorrow. So tolerable later this afternoon, and then comfortable on Saturday. And then we see that bouncing back up. So it'll be fairly short-lived. As we get into next week, we're going to see much hotter conditions. But the weekend looks like this. 90 today, 88 on Saturday. Nice to see highs in the 80s. And then Sunday, it's a bit hotter at 93. The tropics are very busy right now. The Pacific and the Atlantic. Lots to tell you about what's happening coming up.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WREL Live Center. I want to take you to Maui for updates from the disaster zone there. Maui police now say that 58% of that area has been searched during their search and rescue operations. As you look at this drone footage from the Lahaina area, there are four ongoing fires on Maui, each of them between 85 and 100% contained. The death toll stands at 111 this noon, with about 1,300 people still unaccounted for. Of course, the big story this morning that we got out of Maui is that their top emergency management official resigned, citing health reasons. It came a day after he defended his decision not to sound warning sirens as the wildfires approached.
Brian, thanks for that. A new COVID-19 booster shot will roll out across the country next month. Healthcare leaders say it'll target a new variant that's driving up cases and hospitalizations. This new booster comes right in the heart of back-to-school season. WRL's Keenan Willard is live in Raleigh after speaking with a local parent about it. Keenan.
And Jeff, the CDC director says that new booster and the regular vaccine should be available nationwide by the third week of September. And as you said, it's coming just after kids are going to be spending a few weeks back in the classroom. We went out to doctor's offices like this one, trying to speak with experts and just getting parent reaction, talking about what they're feeling as kids may be eligible or expected to be eligible for this new booster in the weeks ahead. Now, that new data from the CDC showing just in the last week, COVID hospitalizations have risen 14%. That's a marked decrease from the peak of the pandemic, but it is still an increase in cases and hospitalizations. The CDC director says this new booster will target a highly transmissible new variant that's driving increased spread. With kids heading back in the classroom for the fall, I asked parents what their plans are with regard to getting their children boosted. The CDC currently has approved boosters for children older than 5 and maintains that the shots are safe and effective for children. Some parents told me they plan to follow the recommendations of their pediatrician. and are open to their kids getting the latest shot. Others, though, are more hesitant. CDC data shows in extremely rare cases, children have developed severe heart conditions like myocarditis after getting vaccinated, at a rate of about 70 cases per million doses in boys aged 12 to 15, according to one CDC study. Now, one mother feels that's a bigger risk than her child getting sick with COVID.
I would definitely be way more concerned about a lifelong heart condition as opposed to them getting COVID for a week and maybe being out of school for a week.
That's one parent's reaction. We also spoke with others. And again, the CDC says on the whole, the vaccines are safe and effective for children ages 5 and up. We are going to be speaking with pediatricians talking about what their guidance is to families about getting kids boosted as they head back into the classroom. More on that ahead on the WRAL Evening News. Jeff.
And we look forward to hearing about it. Keenan Willard live in Raleigh this noon for us. Keenan, thanks.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter turns 96 today. She plans to have a quiet birthday celebration with her husband, former President Jimmy Carter, and other family at home in Georgia. In May, the family disclosed Mrs. Carter has dementia. A few months before that, the Carter Center announced the 39th president, who is now 98, would receive only end-of-life care at home. Mrs. Carter plans to eat cupcakes and peanut butter ice cream for her birthday.
She can do what she wants. Mm-hmm. The U.S. and Russia have a long history of cooperating when it comes to space travel.
But NASA says another nation could pose problems.
I think the space race is really between us and China, and we need to protect the interest of the international community.
Coming up, why the new space race is accelerating at a rapid pace.
Also, a historic meeting at Camp David. What leaders from South Korea and Japan talked about with President Biden.
Plus, 110 days and counting for the writer's strike in Hollywood. The latest round of talks scheduled and the gap between the two sides.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
President Biden is wrapping up a week with a trip to Camp David. This is a working trip as the president hosted his first ever leaders summit at Camp David. Caroline Shively explains the mission of this meeting with world leaders from South Korea and Japan.
For the first time in his presidency, Joe Biden is hosting a Camp David summit. Friday, the heads of Japan and South Korea arrived at the secluded presidential retreat, a relatively short 60 miles from the White House, but with a long history of U.S. diplomacy.
I can think of no better way to mark our new chapter of our trilateral cooperation than meeting here at Camp David.
The last time the retreat was used to host heads of state was in 2015, when President Obama convened Gulf Cooperation Nations. This time, the White House is hoping to use the historic summit to urge two key Asia-Pacific allies to turn the page on their difficult history and commit to bolstering security ties together.
This is the inaugural of a whole new kind of beginning, a new era of the three countries coming together.
But the gathering is also considered part of a larger strategic move for the U.S. as the president works to counter China's influence in the region.
The truth of the matter is this meeting is all about the threat from the Chinese Communist Party. And I think it's great that these leaders are getting together, that the South Koreans and Japanese and Americans are all working on this strategic threat.
This isn't about containing China. It's about dealing with a wide set of threats and challenges and, quite frankly, opportunities in that part of the world.
That's Caroline Shively reporting. The three leaders are expected to wrap up today's summit with a joint press conference this afternoon.
Russia is staking its claim in a new space race to the moon and Mars. A Russian probe is expected to land on the moon's south pole any day now. Tom Costello explains the significance that area holds for the future of space exploration.
Now orbiting the moon, Luna 25 is Russia's first robotic lunar mission in nearly 50 years. Russia never landed cosmonauts on the moon, but within days, Luna will be the first probe to land on the moon's south side, working to confirm the presence of frozen water, which could one day be used for rocket fuel.
The
head of Russia's space agency says the moon could be the launching pad to explore distant planets, including Mars.
Russia has just launched a probe to land on the South Pole.
NASA chief Bill Nelson says that ice is why the U.S. plans to land Artemis astronauts in 2025. But China is also aiming for the pole.
I don't want China to get to the South Pole first with humans. And then say, this is ours. Stay out.
Is this starting to feel real?
That's real. That's it. It's starting to feel very, very real.
At the Kennedy Space Center, the Artemis II astronauts, the first crew who will orbit the moon since Apollo, have now inspected the Orion spaceship that will take them there next year.
We're all smiles, of course. It's pretty inspiring moment.
NASA's goal, similar to what Russia and China are planning. Ultimately, NASA wants to create an Artemis base camp on the moon and use that to go to Mars.
Tom, I think the space race is really between us and China, and we need to protect the interest of the international community.
Nelson insists the U.S. would never lock out others, but the new space race is accelerating. Tom Costello, NBC News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Well, time to show your pride. High school football action is back tonight. Don't miss the 43rd season of the best high school football show in the state. Football Friday, this Friday night, 11:35 on WRAL. And we have NFL action tonight on WRAL as well. Carolina Panthers are on the road for their second preseason game. Play the New York Giants, and that game kicks off tonight at 7.
Look, when Mother Nature gives you a day with lower humidity in August, you take it and run.
Mm-hmm. You can go running today. It's not too hot for that, Elizabeth.
Better.
But anything outside would be good, right?
This time of year, it's still always better to try to get that done before lunchtime. And we're still talking about a high of 90 and in the low 90s. But you remember, last week we had a heat index of 115. So I guess it wasn't last week. It was Monday. We had a heat index Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday it was. What day is today? But anyway, it can be a lot hotter this time of year than it is right now. 88 is our current temperature with a dew point of 65. We're going to climb up to just 90, so not that much hotter than it is right now. And of course, it does feel like around 90 degrees currently. Our heat index is 86 there in Southern Pines. It's 91 in Goldsboro, 88 right now in Rocky Mountain, 86 in South Hill. So certainly compared to some days earlier this week, it feels a lot more comfortable. We'll hit 90 this afternoon in Raleigh, 90 in Durham, and 93 degrees in Fayetteville. And of course, that dew point is right here at the bottom of steamy. It's about to move down to tolerable. And I feel like that's where we're headed today. And it looks like we're going to drop all the way to comfy for tomorrow with a high of 88. Degrees. And so we're going to get to a little bit of a break from the heat and our humidity. 64 this afternoon is where our dew point's headed. 59 tomorrow. Back into the mid-60s on Sunday and Monday. But then on Tuesday, it jumps back up to around 70. And that's going to feel really hot and sticky for us. 94 today's high, 88 Saturday, and then a little hotter on Sunday back to 93. Football Friday, so exciting. First one of the year. Man, the summer goes so fast, doesn't it? Game time temperatures tonight will be in the mid to upper 80s, then dropping into the upper 70s by the time the games are over. But with a nice drop in our humidity, it should feel pretty comfortable out there at the games this evening. Durham Bulls have a game tonight at game time 6:35, around 88 degrees. But look at the difference. Same time on Saturday, it's likely to be 82 with even lower dew points. So it should feel really nice on Saturday evening, whether you're headed to a baseball game or anywhere. It should be a nice evening to be outside. Sunday, a little warmer. The game time is 5 o'clock, so it's a little earlier, but temperature is around 90. Here's what's happening out there right now. We have all the humidity sliding toward the coast. You can see this high pressure system that builds in for us on Saturday. So our dew points on Saturday are going to feel much more comfortable, but just for a short amount of time. Late in the day, Saturday and into Sunday, we start to see it climbing again. You see that green shaded area? That's where all the humidity is, and it's coming back. It's just going to be a brief break for us late today and for the day Saturday. If you're a Saturday morning runner, take a look at this. 65 on Saturday morning and 66 on Sunday morning. So we're going to have some very comfortable temperatures the first part of the day. But Monday and Tuesday, the heat is back, looking at 97 on Monday, 98 on Tuesday. We may have a historic storm affecting the Pacific coast in terms of a tropical system. We're going to take a look at that, plus four other areas that the Hurricane Center is watching in just a bit.
Elizabeth, you have such cute sneezes. By the way, we were saying bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. More news to tell you about. Days after that destructive storm moved across our area, there is still so much cleanup left to be done in Durham. We know tree removal companies are slammed, but how long will the cleanup take? WRL's Brett Neese is working to get you those answers today at 5.
Plus, soda machine sludge found at a fast food restaurant in Wake County. 5 on Your Side has inspection reports tonight in this week's restaurant ratings. Plus, still ahead this noon, fewer Americans are choosing to get married. Coming up, the two top reasons some are avoiding a trip down the aisle.
Also, an injection of federal funds is helping the IRS implement several upgrades. After the break, the major change that's already improving customer service for taxpayers. Today, the CEO of major Hollywood studios, including NBC parent company, NBC Universal, are set to meet to discuss their next move in talks with writers. That's according to Variety. It comes after the Writers Guild of America met with negotiators again yesterday as the union strike nears the 110-day mark. The two sides reportedly remain far apart on several issues, including TV staffing minimums and compensation models for streaming. A strike by U.S. auto workers could cost the economy billions of dollars. If workers at Detroit's Big Three were to strike, it would result in a loss of more than $5 billion after just 10 days. That's according to a study from Anderson Economic Group. The United Auto Workers and General Motors, Ford and Stellantis are trying to work out a new contract. The current one for 150,000 UAW members expires on September 14th.
Walmart continues to see a big boost from shoppers looking for lower prices on food and other necessities. The retailer says sales rose more than 6% last quarter, which was better than what Wall Street analysts were expecting. Sales of groceries, along with health and wellness products, increased from a year ago. And online sales grew as customers placed more orders for store pickup and delivery. Walmart expects the trends to continue, so it raised its financial outlook for the year. Don't stay on hold, we'll call you back. That's the message from IRS to taxpayers. The agency says funds from the Inflation Reduction Act helped it improve its service. Phone wait times dropped to 3 minutes 28 seconds and extended its call capacity, its call back capacity, I should say, instead of placing them on hold. Taxpayers will soon be able to respond to 51 types of notices and letters online.
We have information on two big settlements involving tech companies. First, some iPhone owners could soon receive payouts from Apple over the Batterygate scandal. The tech giant has agreed to pay between $310 million and $500 million to settle a class action lawsuit. Millions of iPhone users filed claims saying Apple's updates slowed down their phones. Owners affected include several iPhone 6, SE, and 7 models that used older operating software before December of 2017. Apple says the updates were intended for lengthening battery life, not forcing new purchases. Next Friday is the last day to file a claim against Facebook in a data privacy settlement case. Facebook's parent company, Meta, is paying $725 million to settle a host of class action lawsuits. These suits claim third parties had access to private user information. Now, if you had a Facebook account at any point between May 24, 2007 and December 22, 2022, you could receive a piece of the settlement. As for how much money you could get, that depends on how long you were a user and how many users file a claim.
At least one grocery chain is rejecting the idea of adding self-checkout to its stores. Trader Joe's is sticking with its traditional checkout lines. The vice CEO says the company will not trade its employees for machines to improve efficiency. The CEO says self-checkout makes it feel like work for the customers. Trader Joe's executives say the employees are the company's most valued resource. Big changes at the top of Maui's Emergency Management Agency. The man in charge has stepped down, but not before defending his decision not to sound the island's siren system. His reason after the break.
Plus, for many college freshmen, it's their first time living on their own, and that means they're in charge of their own food choices. We'll share expert advice to help avoid the dreaded freshman 15. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The site of the damage in Maui is heartbreaking. 111 people are confirmed dead, with just over half the burn zone searched.
Meanwhile, the top emergency management official there quit after criticism for failing to warn the public about the fast-moving fire. NBC's Miguel Almaguer is there, where the mayor says the post will be filled as quickly as possible.
This morning, 10 days after the deadliest wildfire in a century, the administrator for Maui's Emergency Management Agency, Herman Ndaya, has resigned. His job, to head the department responsible for responding to disasters. Citing health reasons, the move comes amid increased scrutiny over his qualifications and the decision to not sound emergency sirens as the fire broke out.
If you want to talk, come up here.
At a contentious press conference, Ndaya defended the decision, noting the sirens are primarily used for tsunami warnings and may have led people toward the danger.
Do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not. Had we sounded the siren that night, we're afraid that people would have gone into the fire.
While the cause for the blaze has not yet been determined, Hawaiian Electric is now facing at least four lawsuits in the wake of the devastation. The latest accuses the power company of years of negligent and reckless operation, citing a 2022 funding request in which the company acknowledged the risk of a utility system causing a wildfire ignition is significant.
Freaking power line just went down.
As videos like this appear to show power lines igniting small sparks before the main blaze began, the company says it will work with officials on the review.
Fire crossing the road. Not good.
The fallout over the cause of the fire comes as a new analysis estimates the island is losing 3,600 daily visitors, costing nearly $2 million a day, all of it causing uncertainty for local businesses.
Are you at all concerned that this could be a devastating blow?
Yeah, I don't know what's the future going to hold.
So far, more than 100 are confirmed dead. Among them, this family of four, their lives lost as flames surrounded their car. This morning, families grieving, locals hurting, and mounting questions over who's to blame.
That was Miguel Almaguer reporting. A grassroots group is working to help reduce crime in Raleigh. The founder of Boots on the Ground says the group offers crime prevention programs, intervention, and advocacy. It also gives support services to survivors of gun violence.
We have a team of violence interrupters who are canvassing inside of our community, building a relationship with both parents and youth, trying to mitigate the violence in our community.
The group has events planned this weekend, including a prayer vigil tonight at Raleigh Milbank Apartments, a news conference tomorrow at the Crime Victims Memorial Garden, and a community day at Roberts Park on Sunday.
The family and friends of Alicia Watts are holding out hope for her safe return. The Moore County woman hasn't been seen for more than a month. She's now listed in the National Missing Persons Database. Watts' family is hopeful that the wider reach of the database will help them find her. She was last seen with her boyfriend, James Dunmore, when they left to see a show in Charlotte on July 16th. WRL has since uncovered Dunmore has a violent past, including past convictions for kidnapping. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Granville, Wilson, and Nash counties.
We'll start in Granville, where nine buildings at the former Umstead Correctional Center will soon be demolished. Butner Town Council members voted to remove the buildings earlier this month. Demolition was recommended after a building assessment determined that it would cost $25 million to renovate. The town bought the 36-acre property from the state in 2019.
Wilson County Schools owe the state more than $400,000 to fund a retired administrator's pension. That's a ruling from the State Court of Appeals. The school system was fighting a state law that limits pension spiking, late career raises that boost retirement benefits beyond the level the employee's contributions can cover. A three-judge panel found the law is constitutional and says the school system owes the state the difference in benefits.
And in Nash County, NC Wesleyan University welcomed the class of 2027 this week. About 300 incoming students attended the school's convocation. In addition to the official ceremony, local businesses and organizations also welcomed the students back to campus. Rocky Mount Police were among the many groups that attended the annual Rock the Mount event.
And here at the WRL Live Center news from England this afternoon, a British nurse was found guilty today of killing seven newborn babies in the hospital where she worked. This is Lucy Letby. It took the jury 22 days of deliberation to convict her. They said that she killed those babies and tried to kill six others in the neonatal unit at the hospital in northwestern England. This happened back in 2015 and 2016. During the lengthy trial, Letby denied the charges. She will be sentenced on Monday.
Thanks, Brian. The Democratic and Republican frontrunners for the White House both have their work cut out for them. Doug Luzader shares new poll numbers for President Biden and Donald Trump as GOP candidates prepare for the first debate coming up next week.
They're sick people.
Former President Trump taking shots at the latest effort to prosecute him, the election interference indictment in Georgia.
They want to suppress your voice. They don't want you to ever talk about an election. If you talk about an election, they want to put you in jail.
Trump had promised to unveil a report on Monday that he said would exonerate him. Now he says his lawyers will save that information for legal filings. It's still not clear what his defense is. But on the political front, he's contending with GOP challengers that may be preparing to attack him in next week's debate, whether he participates or not.
While Donald Trump has problems, and pretty serious ones, so too does Joe Biden.
And while the president is touting the success of what he calls Bidenomics, it's a tough sell with voters, 80% of whom think the economy is poor or just fair, according to our new Fox News poll. And a recent Associated Press survey found that both Biden and Trump face a similar challenge. Majorities would definitely or probably not support either of them.
It really is extraordinary that this is where we are, that so many people do not want either. This is really a none of the above election.
And that was Doug Luzader reporting. As for next week's debate, Trump is suggesting on a social media site that he doesn't see much of a reason to join the fray. So many first-year college students pack on unwanted pounds. How you can help your kids avoid gaining the freshman 15.
Plus, Southern California prepares for its first tropical storm hit in 80 years. We're tracking Hurricane Hillary and its potential impacts on the West Coast.
The term freshman 15 often refers to the weight students tend to gain during their first year in college. It's often their first time away from home and their normal routines. True story, my first semester in college, I gained 22 pounds. Dee Dee Steepen shares four ways to avoid the dreaded freshman 15.
In this season of packing up for college, a warning about packing on the freshman 15.
It's usually not actually 15. It's more often 7 or 8.
Still, it's extra weight that Dr. Denise Milstein says is often caused by a change in activity and eating habits from high school to college.
You're going to be eating at a cafeteria or eating out more. Stop and think, how am I going to manage this?
Dr. Milstein offers four daily goals for every freshman. Number one, eat plants.
Ideally, at least 5 fruits and vegetables every day.
Number two, don't drink a lot of calories.
So if you're going to class and you're grabbing a coffee drink or a smoothie, it can have a lot of calories in it.
Number three, find ways to move.
Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Always make sure you're walking to class.
And number four, get decent sleep.
Trying to get that 7 to 9 hours of sleep consistently, whatever your body requires, can help you to manage your weight.
That was Dee Dee Steepen reporting. Cancer rates for younger Americans are rising sharply. A new study looked at cancer rates for people between 30 and 39 years old. It found that the rates rose by about 20% from 2010 to 2019. Breast cancer cases among younger adults also jumped by roughly 8%. Researchers say causes for the increase of early onset cancer rates include obesity, alcohol, and smoking.
It just might be time to ramp up security at the Eiffel Tower. Why a third incident in 1 week is raising eyebrows.
Plus, a slithering shopper now has a new home. How long the owner has to claim a snake found in a Target shopping cart.
Welcome back. Such a gorgeous view of our coast. This is a live look at Beaufort as we saw some seagulls flying by. Sunny and blue skies. Slightly lower humidity for the weekend. We're looking forward to it. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
A man who jumped off the Eiffel Tower with a parachute is in police custody now. Security spotted him scaling the tower before it officially opened, but were unable to stop him. The man jumped after nearly reaching the top of the 1,000-foot structure. He was taken into custody after landing on the roof of a nearby sports center. This is the latest in a series of security incidents over the past week at the landmark. Two American men were discovered Monday after spending a drunken night up on the Eiffel Tower. And on Saturday, the tower was evacuated for several hours over a bomb threat. Dramatic video shows intense wildfires burning out of control. This is in Canada. A witness captured the massive flames and smoke rising over the city of Kelowna in British Columbia. Several homes were destroyed as wildfires quickly spread there. People who live there rushed to beat today's noon deadline to evacuate their homes. Over 350 fires are burning in Western Canada, with fears it could get worse with strong winds predicted in the coming days.
Hurricane Hilary is threatening parts of California and Arizona. The hurricane reached Cat 4 status today. John Lawrence shows us how officials and residents are preparing.
Hurricane Hilary is eyeing up the West Coast.
It's going to try to squeeze its way between a low to the west and a high to the east.
The center of Hurricane Hilary is expected to approach Mexico's Baja Peninsula this weekend, bringing severe weather to the southwest.
The rain will be very heavy with this system, possibly 4 to 6 inches of rainfall, especially in these higher elevations.
The City of San Diego's Office of Emergency Services says it's prepared.
Well, from the winter storms, we know where flooding occurs.
If Hilary does make landfall on U.S. soil as a tropical storm, that would mark the first time that's happened in nearly 84 years, according to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
We'll be in the lowest level of activation, ready. But as it escalates, we'll start bringing in the other individuals to staff the EOC.
About 60 miles to the north in San Clemente, crews have been working, hoping to prevent mudslides from striking the area again.
Anytime you have a swell push up from the south, it's going to be big. And sometimes that doesn't mean it's going to be really good shape. It just means it's going to be big.
I'm John Lawrence reporting.
The most recent forecast has Hilary staying as a tropical storm as it reaches Nevada, which is something that has never happened before. And the last time a tropical storm hit California, that was 1939.
And we can get a real look at it right now with Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center. Went from a 3 to a 4 overnight.
It did. So it was Category 4 this morning in the 5 a.m. advisory, and it still is here at 11. So 400 miles south of Cabo San Lucas, which is the tip here of the Baja Peninsula, sitting off the west coast of Mexico. Obviously, this is out in the Pacific Ocean, and there are plenty of tropical systems, strong hurricanes that form in the Pacific, but a lot of those are down to the south. And as they try to move to the north, they run into colder air. Of course, the ocean temperature off the coast of California is in the 60s, and of course, off our coast, that temperature is oftentimes 80. And 80-degree ocean temperatures are what these storms feed off of. So typically what happens here on the west coast, the storms move northward and they fizzle out before they have a chance to impact land, except maybe down to the south in Mexico or possibly over toward Hawaii. So here's our Category 4 storm, Hilary. As it moves northward, it does weaken, but it's not going to weaken completely and fall apart. Instead, it's likely to make landfall here just south of San Diego to Los Angeles. I mean, you can see where the fan is. It includes San Diego and Los Angeles. It's likely to make landfall and move across Southern California as a tropical storm. We're looking at 3 to 6 inches of rain here, possibly some isolated 10 inches of rainfall. And of course, you know, we've seen over and over what happens when you have that kind of rain in parts of Southern California. So we're looking at heavy rain being a huge concern, flash flooding, landslides likely if it follows this path. And of course, that is what looks like it's going to happen. The Hurricane Center is also watching some systems here here in the tropics. Oh, I meant to mention the timeline of that. That's going to be Sunday night into Monday. Watching this system here that hasn't developed, none of these are even tropical depressions yet, but this could move into the Gulf of Mexico. It's a 30% chance of developing here. The sea surface temperatures here are well into the 80s, and so this area is really primed for development if all the other elements come together. This is a new one as of this morning, 20% chance that this system, which is one of three in line here coming off the coast of Africa, this one at 40%, and the one closest to the coast of Africa, a 70% chance that it would develop. We take a look at the computer model plots, and the one in the middle, the 40% chance, does move to the west, and then, of course, we get to, say, Wednesday of next week, and the models diverge. And we'll see the same thing with this one, too. It starts off to the west and then begins to diverge by the time we get to next Wednesday. Both of those are too far out in the Atlantic to have any real idea about whether they will affect land. We take a look around our area. It's a nice quiet day. Temperatures are warm, but our humidity is not terrible. Lots of sunshine in Goldsboro, Fayetteville, Apex, and in Chapel Hill. Looking at a high of 90 this afternoon, looking at 88 Saturday and 93 Sunday. So a very pleasant day Saturday, but turning hotter on Sunday. At the beaches, we're going to see highs in the low to mid 80s both days and very little chance of rain either day, making for a nice weekend at the beach, except for the rip current danger. West of Wilmington and around the Atlantic Beach area, it's a high rip current danger and it's moderate everywhere else. So be careful if you're headed that way. In the mountains, 85 in Asheville, 74 in Boone, and upper 60s in Grandfather Mountain Saturday and Sunday, also with limited chances for rain. It turns awfully hot for us on Monday and Tuesday. So hopefully you can enjoy these more pleasant temperatures this weekend. We'll be right back with your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Parents in Wake County are finding out school bus assignments today. The district has enough drivers to cover all the routes on the first day, but hundreds of students will still be late to school. Drop-offs and pickups will be staggered, with some students arriving 10 to 20 minutes after the bell and some more than 30 minutes late.
In Durham, school resource officers spent the morning in training ahead of the new school year. Sheriff Clarence Burkhead and Durham Public School leaders were together to discuss keeping your kids safe at school. Durham Public Schools has 27 SROs assigned to 18 different middle and high schools.
Homestead Road in Chapel Hill is still closed this hour after a giant tree fell across power lines. The road is closed in both directions between Weaver Dairy Road Extension and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. A large tree fell down, taking several power lines with it.
Younger generations say they can't afford to get married. A recent survey says about 75% of millennials and Gen Zers say they can't get married in the current economic climate. 85% say they don't think marriage is necessary for a committed relationship anyway. According to a study by The Knot, the average cost of a wedding last year was $30,000 due to inflation.
A robot conference in China is causing mixed emotions among visitors. The 2023 World Robot Conference in Beijing is full of humanoid robot displays. Many demonstrate new technology, which allows them to seem more human through expressions and gestures. Some visitors expressed praise, while others were in shock over the hyper-realistic appearances. An unusual shopping partner joined some Target members and customers in Iowa. Now, this is a Colombian red-tailed boa constrictor. At first, some people reported spotting the animal in the parking lot. The sightings were confirmed once a worker found it in that shopping cart right there. Animal control removed the unexpected guest. The owner has 7 days to reclaim him and show proof of ownership. Workers affectionately named that constrictor Target.
Our pet of the day is a one-year-old sweetie that is just as playful as a kitten. Victoria is a one-year-old spayed tabby with lots of personality packed into her tiny frame. She deserves to be treated like a Queen Victoria. She's special needs because her back legs don't work very well. Her adoption fee is 50% off this month through the Clear the Shelters promotion. To learn more about her, visit spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL and your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Stick around for that, or you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day. Be safe this weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.